The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What's next? Rising inflation, drops in the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? We know you can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins and an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they're a true wealth asset that have real value. During the three-year recovery period after the crash of 08, the Dow only went up 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 855-662-6533 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny and call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-662-6533. That's 855-662-6533. As in any investment, the price of gold and silver may fluctuate over time and you could lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
Nothing is as constant as change, and that certainly describes the tech world that we live in. Well, we at Into Tomorrow are here to help. I'm Dave Graveline, our 24th year bringing you further into tomorrow, and we want to hear from you. If you ever have any questions at all, any digital dilemma, any consumer tech issues we can help solve for you, call us anytime, day or night, 24/7, 800-899-4686. 800-899-INTO will get you on the next broadcast and address your concerns. Always a pleasure to have our next guest with us. He creates quality tech review videos for the discerning gadget enthusiast, if you will. And coming to us from Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, Spain, is Mr. Mobile, Michael Fisher. Michael, welcome back into tomorrow. How are you?
Dave, thank you for having me, and I'm fantastic. Every time I hear you read my little tagline there, it doesn't sound better coming out of anyone else's mouth, so thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. One day we'll have to do a pre-record piece as an intro for some of your pieces, and then I'll be honored to be involved there.
I love it.
Now, a lot of news. As you and I speak, this is the end of the first day in Barcelona at Mobile World Congress, an annual event that for years we attended, and hopefully we'll get back there again sometime, maybe next year. But in the meantime, I couldn't think of someone more interesting and excited about new announcements than you. Oh, yeah. And getting your Mr. Mobile perspective on things. I mean, there's so much to talk about, but let's right out of the box, foldable phones. Are we all going to have them soon?
Oh, I love that. It's perfect timing because I've just come from my first hands-on with a foldable phone of any kind. Within the hour, I've had my hands on one of these, and I think it's going to be quite a while, to answer your question, before the average person is able to enjoy a foldable phone. But I am excited enough in this moment about them that I think when that day comes, people are going to be glad that they are here.
Really? Now, of course, the biggest news, I guess, pre-Mobile World Congress was Samsung announcing their Galaxy Fold, but the darn thing's almost $2,000. I mean, we got to get real here.
No doubt. But, you know, when you have this many, and I'm not just defending Samsung here. You know, we have Huawei, we have Oppo, there's Royole, a bunch of companies are developing these things, and they're all quite expensive. And, you know, a lot of these companies like to boast that they spend so-and-so, however many billion dollars a year in R&D. Well, a lot of that is going into devices like this. There's so much engineering involved in making a display that is flexible, that'll bend without breaking, a hinge that can survive all of those, you know, the constant unfoldings and unfoldings, all of the surrounding tech to accommodate that I'm really not surprised at all at the prices on these things.
Well, people are calling these foldable phones, though, a cruel tease, because how realistic is it going to be whether or not, and like anything else, I mean, we've covered tech, as you know, for 24 years on the air, and early adopters always pay higher because we tend to be the ones to pay for that R&D, that research and development. And then after a while, version 2 of something comes out, then the first one is certainly much more affordable. Obviously, will be the case with foldable phones as well. But realistically, is this something that you think a lot of people are going to say, gotta have this, and I'll save up, I'll second mortgage the house, whatever I gotta do?
So I think the early adopters are always going to be there for something like this. It's flashy. It's new. It feels, having just come from a hands-on, as I say, with the Huawei Mate X, you know, it's something, there's something so exciting about using a smartphone that's not a traditional monoblock rectangle. So, yeah, the early adopters are going to pay new car prices for this kind of stuff, or used car prices. Yeah. But I think, you know, I think it is quite reasonable to expect it to come down. I have a distinct memory of buying my first smartphone at $700 and, you know, handing over the credit card is something I will always remember in 2006. I think 2 years later in 2008, you could get a smartphone on contract for $99 that did much the same stuff. So I really do expect that if these are embraced by the mainstream, the price will come down in, not in short order, but, yeah, you know, in a couple generations.
And Michael, one of the things we've been talking about on the show recently is I think it's very sad that we're now talking about an affordable phone costing $750. And it's like, at what point did that become affordable? You know, for most people, it's like, no. $200 or $300 is affordable. $750, right. Well, because we're spending a grand or $1,200 or in this case, $1,900 if we want that kind of a phone. So I guess, looking at it in perspective, $750 is affordable.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, and there is stuff under $750, right? We've got OnePlus at the $550 market. And if you don't want to hit that, you've got, if you live in certain countries, the Xiaomi with their Poco phone and Motorola with the Moto G line. You know, there's stuff downrange that's really good.
Oh, for sure. And certainly should be looked at and considered, as we've recommended on the air as well. And one of the things you mentioned, the Huawei Mate X, number one, I'm glad that they're not calling it the Mate 10. It's like, well, you know, yeah, Apple X, but no, people are saying X. No, it's 10. Well, then Huawei must be the Mate 10. No, it's X. It's like, oh, right. My gosh, you people. You know, at least they've not copied Apple in that sense. But what is your take, especially being there in Barcelona with this big event, on Huawei and some of the concerns and spying and governments like the U.S. saying, you know, they're not buying Huawei equipment and don't recommend that we do and all that? What have you heard about that sort of thing?
Well, at MWC, I have heard precisely zero about that, and there's a really good reason for that. Every single time we have a briefing on a new Huawei piece of equipment, it's made very clear that the only people they've made available for us from a PR perspective are going to be able to answer product questions and nothing else. So it's very clear they don't want to talk about it. I think, though, that as I'm a product-focused guy, that's sort of in line with what I tend to need from a coverage standpoint. I think some other folks are having some interviews that, you know, that conversation never gets far from the front page. I think in the United States, it's a network perspective thing. You know, Huawei as a network infrastructure provider, and the relations with the U.S. and China being as they are, I think it makes a lot of sense for that this is happening, that the U.S. is saying, well, we don't want Huawei participating in our network infrastructure build out for 5G. On the handset side, I think it's an open question. Mm-hmm. I will say that I use Huawei phones all the time in the course of reviewing them, and I seldom, you know, take pause, but
yeah, you don't feel that Beijing is over your shoulder the whole time.
You know, there's a little false equivalency here, and I'll take that hit, but no more than I feel that Google is over my shoulder all the time because okay. It's, you know, Google is actively trying to sell me better ads, right?
Yeah, good point. Exactly. So yeah. It's a whole different thing. Of course, now we're talking the possibility in some people's minds of national security versus just lack of privacy. But again, and I agree with you 100% about, you know, just like us, we cover products and we talk about, you know, technology, and, you know, we don't cover finances for companies and stock prices and that sort of
right.
thing. But we also can't ignore, you know, when so much major news comes out about any company or any product or service that is getting attention that may end up being somewhat negative, but that's kind of the gist of the biz. So
no, you're absolutely right. You know, I don't like to whitewash it or anything like that. And I certainly don't want to toss it under the rug under the statement of like, well, I just focus on the products, because of course, a big part of the product story is it safe? Should you feel safe using it? But at this point, you know, I think there's not enough real evidence out there, or at least evidence that's been released, that any of these consumer-level handheld products are any less safe than you know a bunch of others you can buy from China or elsewhere. So.
Sure. No, great point, and I agree with you there by all means. How many cameras on a phone is enough? Because that's something else coming out of Mobile World Congress. I mean, there's one phone I saw has, what, 5 or 6 cameras on the back. It's like, okay, I get it. You want to do some nice stuff and maybe 3D-ish things or just some interesting selfies or what have you. But my gosh, I mean, one of them, I can't remember the manufacturer now. I'm sure you do. But what, 5 cameras and they're all 12 megapixel Nokia. Each. The Nokia, right. New Nokia.
Right.
It's like,
the Nokia 9.
Wow.
Deceptively named because it does have, you're right, there are 5 cameras on the back, not 9, but you know, 5 is enough. But what's fascinating about this to me, though, is it's not just that many manufacturers are building phones with many cameras. It's that they're all doing it for different reasons. You have Samsung, say, for example, including a third camera on its phones now for ultra wide angle. And that, you know, that sits alongside the standard camera and then a special one for telephoto. But Nokia is doing something completely different because they're using an array that they co-developed with a company called Light out of California. And each of those cameras, as you say, are identical because all the information from all of the cameras is used to process every single shot. And the approach that Light uses promises a lot more dynamic range and hopefully better portrait shots. Not that I care about portrait shots too much, but apparently everyone else in the world does.
Yeah, well, you and I don't, but right, everyone else seems to. It's just so bizarre. Yeah. But 5 cameras on a phone, you begin to wonder if you're that serious about photography, maybe invest in a digital camera, you know, and do some unique things with it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I see that pushback in the comments a lot, and I understand where it comes from, and you're right. A professional photographer is not anywhere close to giving up his or her DSLR or, you know, mirrorless or whatever, but there is just this unrivaled convenience in having everything in one package just being able to share directly from the phone. The Nokia 9 even has you can edit on device in Lightroom, and it has a custom lens profile made for the phone. So I haven't used it in the real world, but it should be interesting.
Oh, yeah, no question. One that we'd all like to get our hands on and find out is it worth having 5 cameras or otherwise, or even the Samsung with 3, but that makes sense, as you say. You want to have a telephoto or you want to have a wide angle, then, of course, you want to have 3 cameras. But I'm going to ask you, Michael, if you don't mind holding a couple of minutes, let us pay a couple of bills. We'll come back. I want to ask you about 5G, or is it now 6G? We want to talk about that, too. More from Mobile World Congress in Barcelona with our very own Michael Fisher, Mr. Mobile, youtube.com/TheMRMobile. We'll get you there, of course, when you hit us up at intotomorrow.com. We'll be right back as we continue bringing you further into tomorrow.